today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
He's not saying, if you hang in there, if you do this without stumbling, and you make it to the end, you'll be saved. Here's what he's saying. If your faith is genuine, if your commitment to follow Christ is genuine, it will show itself because at the end, you will have endured. Through all of these difficulties, when family turns their back on you, when you lose the inheritance, when all of this stuff happens and you've endured, your faith will have been proven genuine. Anyone can follow him when it's easy.
Stories of men and women of faith who withstood severe persecution, even death, without wavering in their faith. Most of us have had moments we let pass because we didn't want to shine a spotlight on our faith out of mere embarrassment. Today we'll hear how to move past that fear with his words in our mouths. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verse 17, as we join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled, Salvation is Serious Business.
I repent of my sin, and you say a bunch of things, and maybe you're emotional and you cry. He says, is that the biblical model for coming to faith in Christ? Now, we do that. There's nothing wrong with allowing people the opportunity to make a public profession of their faith. I did it. And I look back at that with a great love and memory. It was a challenge for me to come forward like that. But it doesn't mean just because you cry and come forward and stand and do a prayer that you meant it. Because sometimes we don't know what we're getting into. See, we are called to follow Jesus. Jesus calls, and we say yes or no to following him. We don't just invite him into our heart and carry him around like an insurance card in the back of our pocket to go with us and be pulled out whenever I need him. He calls us to follow him. So if your intent is not to begin following him, then maybe you were touched emotionally. That's good. You're moved. You want to follow him. I've been there. But until you decide and determine in your heart, he should be Lord, because he is, and you determine to follow him, well, you won't be like Zacchaeus, who Jesus said, salvation has surely come to this home. So they don't tell you that. They also don't tell you that trials will come just because you're a Christian. You may lose friends. Because there's a difference now in you, in what you used to do and how you used to think, what you used to entertain. You'll lose friends and even family. You will become a marked person because as your light begins to shine, even the people who were close, at first they'll go, oh, that's good. You needed something. Whoa, you needed something for a while. And I think that's good. But then as your light begins to shine, then they will say, okay, you're getting too religious now. You're too much light, too much bright, too much church. And they won't like it, and they will begin to separate from you. So we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Why? A couple of reasons. One, to avoid unnecessary conflict. We need to be careful. The world will be antagonistic and we can't be drawn into arguing because no one has ever won someone to Christ by an argument, by arguing, and no one has ever represented the Lord well when they get into an argument. And then two, to protect our witness because we don't look good when we stand and argue. So we're to act that way, but he says, verse 17, but beware of men. For they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, asks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So there will be public persecution in the life of a believer. It says they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. He's speaking to Jews about the fact that as they minister to the Jews, the Jewish councils and those who represent the synagogues will hear this as heresy, and they will deliver them for punishment. So he says that's going to happen. They're going to deliver you up. They're going to scourge you in their synagogues. And he says, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to the Gentiles. Okay, now we're expanding. He mentions Gentiles. If you remember back in verse 5, he's told this group, you're not to go to the Gentiles. You're not to go to the Samaritans. You're not to go to the Gentiles. You're only going to go to the lost sheep of Israel. And now he's talking about Gentiles. What is up? What's going on here? Well, here's what's happening. Jesus knows that this small trial run right now, this basic training mission, is going to grow. It's going to blossom, and it's going to become bigger than this. Jesus sees the future. He's looking beyond the one trip toward trips to come. Like when they train you for war, they'll train you. And though you're dodging fake bullets and you have a tendency to go half-hearted through the motions, they're saying, look, if you don't get down all the way, you will get shot. They will be real bullets. And they tell you something beyond the training. That's what Jesus is doing. He's telling them something beyond the training. Be serious. Be ready. Be wise. Go to your training. You're going to need it. We know that later on, after he's ascended and the disciples go out for real, that Peter and John would stand before a council and the religious leaders, and they would be flogged. Paul the apostle would stand before Governor Festus and King Agrippa, and then later on, Caesar, the ruler of the known world at that time. So these things would happen. These are leaders. These are people who have authority and power. Can you imagine standing before someone who has the ability to take your life? Now, I know the biblical answer. They have no authority over me. That's what Jesus said, right? And we say that too. But Jesus did get killed. I mean, that was God's plan, you know? And so you might too. But can you imagine being in that situation for your faith? They just say, recant. It happened to Martin Luther. It's happened to Wycliffe and so many of those who were martyred for their faith. The church or others, the government. Usually the government in cooperation with the church. One of these people to just stop saying this stuff. Stop sharing it. Stop spreading the good news. It conflicted with their agenda. And these men and women would not do it. But what about you? What if we were in that situation? I mean, when you're standing before someone who can take your life, what do you say? He says in verse 19, don't worry about what you would say or what you should speak, for it will be given you in that hour. Literally, in that moment. Now, I do want to say something about this scripture. That's the context here. The context is for emergency sake. Don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. Maybe the disciples were thinking, well, if we're going to stand before governors, let's think about this. What would we say? Don't do that. Don't plan it out. You'll be given what you need to say in that time. But some have taken this verse, I've heard it, and they say, you know, I don't really study the Bible and just get myself really prepared because wherever I go, God's just going to give me what I need to say. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying in those emergency situations where there's fear, you may be afraid for your life. You may not know what you might say. He said, it'll be given to you. Don't worry about it. You're going to be okay because you'll speak the very words our Father places in your heart. They'll be the words of God. Now we know we're supposed to study and be prepared to give answers because Peter said, 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. So we are supposed to be prepared. We are supposed to study. Just don't try to prepare for every situation. Just have it in here. You know, one of the greatest speeches in all of Scripture was given by Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Long spiel, went through Israel's history. I mean, basically tells them the Bible, their history. And it was a beautiful message. And after the message, they killed him. So even a beautiful message, wonderful words may not save your life. So we are called to share truth and let the chips fall where they may. Persecution is inevitable. And the persecution will be public, but not only public. That persecution can also come from those closest to you. Verse 21 says, "Now, brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved." Okay. If I were a disciple at this point, my eyes would be about that big. What did I just get myself into? I've experienced that before. When I went into basic training, I thought, you know, it can't be all that bad. I've seen the movies and stuff like that. I even told my mom, you know what, just to not give them the satisfaction of cutting all my hair off, I should get a haircut, you know, kind of short. And she's like, nah, just have your hair. I mean, it wasn't all that long, but I thought, then I'm already set and I don't have to go through the haircut process. Well, I got there. My first thoughts were, what did I get myself into? Because they just start yelling at you right away. We got in late at night, and they're like, "Get over here! Get over here! You're oh, you're away! No, no, no!" And like, "You're dressed. Oh, look what we got here!" And they grabbed me. I said, "What do we have here?" They brought me to the front, and they called me a guide-on. So we got a guide-on right here. I'm like, "What's a guide? What am I supposed to do? What's a guide?" Found out he's the guy who carries the flag, stands in front, does all that stuff, added responsibilities, and so. He came up to me and had his little TI hat on, and he hit me in the head with it, you know, and that's about where I'm thinking, what did I get myself into? And he says, "Boy, I'm going to put you in jail." Like, for what? He said, "I'm either going to recycle you or put you in jail." Now, I didn't know what that meant, but apparently, if I messed up too much, I would end up in jail. They explained it to me later, and I thought, okay, I need to do some bad things to go to jail. But I was scared to death, and I did not know what I got myself into. The goal of all of that, the point was to strip you down to a place where you can be built back up. It was necessary. It was actually good after looking back. In it, didn't like it. But I wondered what I had got myself into. As a Christian, now we have a honeymoon. I didn't get a honeymoon period. They don't do that at basic. No honeymoon periods. But Jesus seems to give a honeymoon period before the trials come. It's like you're floating on it. You give your life to him. It's like, oh, because it is like a marriage. He likens it to a marriage. He's the husband. You're the bride. He loves you. But after the honeymoon, it's like reality settles in. There are things that need to happen in your life. Everything doesn't just go away. There's things to be worked out. There are people that you tell, I gave my life to the Lord. Man, God is good. You should give. Why'd you do that? What do you mean, why'd I do that? And people aren't so tolerant or accepting of the fact that you gave your life to the Lord. And the Christian bubble sort of bursts. Relationship with family members can get strained. I was very close to certain family members, but that has it's become more distant because of Christ. Some will wonder, does that mean I can get crossed off their will? Maybe. I mean, even Jesus said to a disciple who came and said, I want to follow you, but let me first bury my father. And the father hadn't died yet. He was waiting for his inheritance. He had to be around. He had to let his father age and then die. And bury him, and then the distribution of the wealth or the property could be made. And Jesus is saying, let the dead bury their dead. You, who are supposed to be alive, follow me. Give all that up. Don't worry about all that stuff. Follow me. So yeah, there'll be sacrifice. There'll be things that change. Your children, who have children, and they don't want anything to do with Christ, maybe. Yeah, they may use their grandchildren against you as you seek to follow the Lord with all your heart. There are some great costs. You know, in Jewish homes, families would disown you for coming to Christ. They would even consider you worthy of death for putting your faith in Jesus. Jesus, yes, He builds homes, but He also divides them. In verse 34, that's next week, we'll be touching on that, He'll say, "Don't think I came to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. A man's enemies will even be those of his own household." Did you know that was part of the package? That there would be separation even in your family? That, yeah, it's not family first. It's Him first. Following Christ is a commitment. It's a commitment that we enter by faith. But He says this, "He who endures to the end will be saved." Okay, it's got to be a commitment. He's not saying, if you hang in there, if you do this without stumbling, and you make it to the end, you'll be saved. Here's what He's saying. If your faith is genuine, if your commitment to follow Christ is genuine, it will show itself because at the end, you will have endured. Through all of these difficulties, when family turns their back on you, when you lose the inheritance, when all of this stuff happens and you've endured, your faith will have been proven genuine. Anyone can follow Him when it's easy. Oh, the blessing, the salvation, the giving to me, the building of my home, the correcting of my family, I'll take that. But when things don't go well, where will you be? Will you go away like most of the crowds did? We find out that later on we hear that some leave. And He says, they left us because they were never among us. Well, they were in for the good times, they were in for the miracles, they were in for the honeymoon or whatever, but they weren't in. Billy Graham was in. But there was a man named Chuck Templeton who, before Billy Graham was doing what he did, Billy Graham was just kind of a up-and-comer evangelist. Chuck Templeton was actually the Billy Graham of his day. They thought he is going to change the world. He was very influential, a great speaker. But what happened is the Jews were being persecuted. They say all the death and destruction. And as they saw this stuff, Chuck Templeton began to go, you know what? I don't know if there is a good God who would allow that. He hit his brick wall. He wasn't all in. When something didn't make sense to him, he didn't let God be God. He hit the brick wall for how far he would go. And he ended up turning his back, stepping down from his church. He had a large, thriving church, and became an antagonist, a friend, but an antagonist toward Billy Graham, even causing Billy Graham at one point to question and then solidify his faith. But Chuck Templeton died not believing in God, having been a great preacher. But he was never among us. He says in verse 23, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. He says, keep going. For surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. He's giving them a sense of urgency. Hurry, go, speak. Don't spend time in argument. Move on. And then he says, verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? In other words, when you perform these miracles and these signs follow you, hey, when I did that, they said, oh, he does it by the ruler of demons. So when you go to people and you say, look at my life, look at what God has done, though it should be very impressive, they're still not going to be all that impressed. Okay, you needed the religious crutch. Hey, that was fine for you. It should be very impressive what God has done. You know it should be. You know what's gone on in your heart. But for them, not a thing. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be made known. Trials will come. Persecution will come. 2 Timothy, Paul wrote one of his last letters saying, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But did you know that they are actually beneficial? The trials, the persecution. One, they establish your faith. They show you if your faith is genuine, and they root you deeper in your faith. Like a tree, when the wind blows, it digs its roots. When the water isn't to be found on the surface, it digs its roots in. And so the same thing happens with your faith. If you're genuine, you don't blow away. Your roots get deeper. They show you a lot about the genuineness of your faith, like Abraham and Isaac, when Abraham was to offer Isaac. You're putting a lot of attention on your son, and so I want you to offer him. And at the end of it, God said, now I know. The angel said, I know that you love me, that you're committed. And I think the point was, he knows. Because God always knows. He knows our hearts. So it proves the genuineness of your faith. Trials also come, and they allow you to be a better witness. Because like I said, anyone can do good when things are good. But when you're a light and you stand strong, even in difficult times, that says a lot more. Paul was in a jail in Philippi. He was in the prison. And they were worshiping the Lord one night, and there was an earthquake, and the doors of the prison opened up. And just as the jailer was going to take his own life, because if the prisoners escaped, anything that was due them was going to befall him as the one watching. He was going to go ahead and take his life. And just then, Paul yelled out, hey, don't do that! We're all still here. We're still here in prison. And that guy said, what do I do to be saved? You believe that much in the Lord? I need him. It's a witness. And all that we deny ourselves, all that we endure, will be rewarded. There's a coming justice. Everything will be made right. Nothing that anyone has said bad about you won't be disclosed in the end. Your reputation for God will not be ruined in eternity. God's able to undo and do all those things. Matthew 19:29 says this, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Jesus isn't telling them these things to scare them. He's being real with them. But he's actually encouraging them. How's that encouraging? Because they know to expect it. You know, when things go wrong for us, sometimes we wonder, am I doing the right thing? Maybe I didn't hear God right. But he's telling them, no, these are going to happen. Go ahead and expect them. It's not going to go perfect. Everything's not going to be rosy. They're going to be difficult times. And you and I need to understand the same thing, that when we obey God, when we do what God wants us to do, it may get harder. It may not always get easier. It may cause friction in the home. But are we worried about here and now? Or are we worried about the end and what God wants to do? I pray that here today, we will have the end in mind. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and everything that you need will be added unto you.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew, here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard today is exactly what you're looking for in a church. Then please join us. We meet Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. For more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
Up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.